From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Let's play.
I'm in the Bahamas with my wife, Suzette, who, did I mention that I met her at 15, like I was 21? Did I ever mention that before on this podcast? Anyway, and I'm sitting down on the beach, and this fucktard comes up to me. He says, "Hey, D, when are you going to apologize for Lovers for Suckers?" I'm like, "Motherfucker, I'm on holidays! I'm on vacation! I vacationed in like 2 weeks. What's going on? Fucked hard." And I felt so bad after it, I gave him a ticket to Dee Snider's Rock and Roll Christmas Tale. Because ain't nobody turning up for that one. So I needed somebody there. So I said, "Hey, look, I feel sorry about calling you a fucked hard." So I gave him a ticket to that. But anyway, it's Snider's... No, it's not Snider Comics. It doesn't exist anymore. It's now the Midnight Movie Cowboys. And I'm here with the Hunter Dusing. How you going there, Hunter?
Hey, I'm doing all right there, Stu. I mean, yeah. D, sorry. This is Captain Howdy here. And this guy, this fucked hard, did you run up to him and remind the audience that you're 6'7"? And run up to him and go, "Hey, motherfucker!"
You know what? I may look 5'9" from a distance, but I somehow get taller and taller when you get closer. And nobody gives me shit! No one gives me a hard time! Oh, D, we love you. We love you, D. I didn't mean to scream you're a fucktard 30 meters away. So I'm sitting here anyway with this piece of foam around my fucking head like I'm in the cone of silence for you guys doing this show. I had to take an hour away from my vacation in the Bahamas or France.
I gotta remind you that I'm doing this for you guys.
Yeah, I know. I mean, your questions suck. Really? Twisted Sister questions?
I don't want to talk about J.J. French.
Yeah, I know. I mean, your questions are so bad. A.J. Pirro died when he read them. He had a heart attack. He said, "This is so bad, D. I can't live it no more. I'm going to die."
And he didn't leave behind anything for his wife and kids. Thanks, A.J.
Yeah, so irresponsible what my drummer is. And my bass player was in a band called The Dictators, and my band and my songs and my. Everything's my. I, me with that guy. It's unreal.
Ego maniac.
Ego main I-ac.
You mean? So this, John's not here, and Stuart and I, we said, what's something John wouldn't talk about? And every time Dee Snider comes up on the podcast, John reminds us that he doesn't care about Dee Snider.
No.
So we thought, since Dee Snider's podcast, Snider Comments, has recently pod-faded, it's been resigned to the dustbin of podcast history, he's retired it, we thought we would do a Dee Snider-themed show with his... horror masterpiece, Strangeland.
Non-masterpieces, John would say.
Masterpiece as in raging piece of shit.
Yeah,
but
yeah, putting the piece into piece of shit is what it is.
It eerily predicted the torture porn trend of the 2000s.
Yeah, it did. It was. I mean, you reminded me of something when you sent me that text early today saying this film is so fucking 90s. I'm like, yeah, it really is.
There's this scene in the movie where I was like, oh my God, I haven't seen one of those in forever. There's this scene where the cops pulled this car out of the river with a corpse in it.
Yeah.
And the rear view window has a lanyard hanging from it that with a sticker that says Mean People Suck. Do you remember Mean People Suck stickers?
No, I don't.
Oh man, they were fucking everywhere over here in like the late 90s, early 2000s. Mean People Suck stickers were everywhere.
We had I'm sure you guys probably had them as well. Those remember those Oakley sunglasses that had thermonuclear protection? Those yes. ones with Jesus thermonuclear protection on it.
Oh my God.
It was a blast from the past for sure, those things. Yeah.
Like I was surprised I didn't see like Happy Bunny somewhere like or some other relic from that time.
According to D, I've grilled D a couple of times on this on Twitter. He's like, hey, give me a question. Oh, what are your questions? And I asked
him. Has he ever responded or?
No, not about Strangeland. Because he blamed the director for it and one of his old shows, you know. That he
I thought he was. I thought he was proud of that movie. He talks about making a sequel and all that.
Well, you know, it depends what day you get D on. I guess he. Yeah, but mind you, it's a D Snyder's Strangeland. Like John Carpenter's the thing. It's you know, Wes Craven's A Hills Have Eyes. It's D Snyder's Strangeland. So let's not forget that.
Yeah, Wes Craven gave us Freddy. John Carpenter gave us Michael. D Snyder gave us Captain Howdy.
Yeah. Really. Right. Captain Howdy.
Yeah. A nice callback to the Twisted Sister song, which is a callback to The Exorcist. So,
yes. Yes, it is. But off the Stay Hungry album.
Yep.
From 84.
I'm old!
Yeah. God damn. Every episode. Yeah. I'm old!
Yeah. It's like he would make something like he would reference something. For those of you who never heard Snyder comments, Hunter and I were pretty avid listeners of it. I got into it about halfway through, literally after he interviewed Marty Kolner.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
Like, that was one of the best episodes, I think, of the
It was. Show. It was very good. I mean, D had some good episodes, but as you
He had some good ones. He had some horrible ones.
He did.
Like,
he had some stinkers
like
in there.
The one with Marty Kolner is great. The one with Sebastian Bach is great.
Yeah.
The one with Frankie Benali is great. The one where he talks about Howard Stern, his relationship with Stern
that
is great.
That was good. That was probably one of the best ones.
Yeah. I mean, he has episodes like whenever D decides he's going to talk about the presidential race, it's painful.
Oh, about Trump. Yeah.
And not even necessarily because like I think what he says is so wrong or anything. It's just he's not as much of an intellect as he thinks he is when it comes to politics.
Nah.
Like, he kind of takes his milquetoast, middle-of-the-road views as a really interesting viewpoint, and it's really not. It's just, who cares, you know?
We don't need to hear that Donald...
There was a stretch where that was every fucking episode.
It was getting
him
rough.
Talking about Trump. Because... Oh, Donald Trump, he's that family member you don't talk politics with. Okay, well, yeah, we get it. You know Donald Trump. You know, like it's. Yeah.
He's a friend of mine. She was not one of. We're not going to take it.
Yeah.
You didn't ask
me
for the rights, but you can have it. I don't care. I don't care if you use it.
Talks endlessly about we're not going to take it and how it's a song about how women have the right to. Okay, I get it. You know, you love abortion. You love the Second Amendment. That's great.
Yeah. D. Snyder with a gun. That is a frightening prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
But no, like, there were some – it was a really hit-or-miss show. Some episodes were amazing and some were just, like, rambling bullshit. And towards the end, it was mostly rambling bullshit.
It was. You could tell the wheels were coming off. He was like, yeah.
Just wasn't into it. And I knew – I smelled the end coming when a couple episodes before the end, he said he wasn't going to curse anymore because he needs sponsors.
Yeah. That
was like,
some bullshit.
You do realize you're doing a podcast, right? This is not like – I'm sorry, but there's only a couple Corollas and Joe Rogans and Mark Marins out there that are going to make a decent check doing this.
Yeah.
You're not one of them.
No, you're not. And the thing is like, as well, he got terrestrial radio mixed up with podcasting.
Yeah.
It's – no. I tweeted to him as well. I said, mate, it's the Wild West. Do what you want. You can say what you want. You're not governed by a – by the FCC or anything like that.
It is.
Yeah, and, I need sponsors. I need money.
I know. You needing sponsors. I was like, you know, this is not something you're going to come into. Don't do this to make money. You know, like you're going to do this because you want to, like, you know, tell stories, get stuff off your chest. And if you don't want to do that, then don't do it.
Yeah. I mean,
don't think this is going to be an extra source of income for you, because those every single effing podcast on Podcast One is running ads for TrueCar, is running ads for Geico or whatever. You're not making coin off that. I mean, it's just Ed has an Amazon page, you know, like Eddie Trunk's podcast is just a supplement to his radio show. Like, he's probably not making very much money on that podcast at all.
Probably not. But I mean, the thing is as well with D, he was going, I haven't got the time. I've got all these prospects and, you know, on the horizon, but you got time. Eddie Trunk can manage to do a Sirius satellite show. He can do a terrestrial radio show. He can manage to do a podcast. Not to mention all his trips that he's taken out there.
He does live shows with Don and Jim.
Don and Jim and his other appearances he's got. So don't say you haven't got time. You know, you haven't got time because you're too busy holding.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing I say about everything. You don't have time if you don't want to do it. You know?
You don't. Exactly right.
You can squeeze it in. Like, I mean, sometimes I don't have time is code for I'm too tired. I'm just not into it. You know,
Don't tell me you can't get an hour to yourself. Grab a digital recorder, stick it up to your mouth and talk. That's all you got to do.
He's done it like for a long time. The problem is like the shows, even when he was doing that, the shows weren't that great. They were only great if he had a specific topic in mind, like Stern or I'm trying to remember some other things he talked about. Lemmy, you know, he had – whenever he knew what he was talking about beforehand, but sometimes he would come up and he would start a show going, it's not going to be a show today. I'm too busy. And then he would end up talking for an hour and it would be still not that great, you know?
Yeah. Well, basically I could say this for someone who has read his book. If you want to listen to a sort of fairly condensed audiobook version of his book, just listen to the Snyder comments. There's a lot of it rehashed from his book.
Yeah. I believe that.
I mean, his book is good. It's an entertaining read, and he did write it himself. You can tell because there is that many I, me. I wrote this. I did this. I wrote everything. It's like,
yeah. I mean, like, listening to him, you would think nobody else in Twisted Sister ever contributed anything.
They did. He wouldn't. For some reason, he wouldn't allow it, even though J.J. French was there 3 years before him.
Yeah, it was J.J. French's band, as far as
I would have said right. This song's good. This one's not. This one's good.
I think D, you know, is right when he says, I could go out and do Twisted Sister with nobody else in the band right now and do it. And I think he's absolutely right. I don't think he's wrong, because he's the most famous person in that band.
I would say depend on the fan that turned up. If it was the casual fan, he could get away with it.
Absolutely. It would. The hardcore fans, not at all. But most people. You know, my generation especially, they know Dee Snider from VH1's I Love the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
That was my introduction to Dee Snider. That was a lot of people's introduction to Dee Snider that are younger. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people, when they think of Twisted Sister, they think of Dee Snider. Now, you know, older fans probably, you know, understand that band has always been, you know, a pretty consistent lineup of J.J. French, Eddie Fingers Ojeda, Mark the Animal Mendoza, who was also in The Dictators, and AJ Perro, who is no longer with us and has been replaced by Mike Portnoy.
Who hasn't been replaced by Mike Portnoy in a band?
He's, I know, everywhere. Right? Mike Portnoy, Gene Hoagland, and now Chris Adler are like the most in-demand drummers.
Just getting off topic quickly, did Chris Adler do both sets on Saturday night when you went and saw Megadeth?
No. I saw Lamb of God 2 weeks ago in Dallas.
Oh, okay. They weren't that.
So that tour ended, and he immediately started the Megadeth tour. So this was the first stop of the Megadeth Dystopia tour. So I was wondering if Chris Adler was going to be there, and, you know, there he was up there playing drums. So two shows in a row I've seen Chris Adler drumming.
Wow.
And Megadeth's new guitar player, Kiko Loureiro, is very entertaining to watch live.
Yeah, I remember him from Angra when they had their first album out. It was all a buzz, like the guitarist in Angra was really something else, you know?
And he made more of an impression. I've seen Megadeth 4 times now, and he made way more of an impression on me live than Chris Broderick did.
No, yeah, that was statues, but he was a statue. Same with Marty Friedman. I mean, Marty Friedman's a great guitarist, but he's not very sort of visually entertaining to watch.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Kiko was, like, you know, run around, you know, like, he was, you know, working the crowd.
Yeah.
Get up to the – when it was time for the solo, like, Dave would move to the back. He would move to the front. And, you know, it was you know, there was a lot of movement on the stage. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I blew my abs. I was deaf today because I was like right in front of the speakers.
How's Dave's voice holding up?
Sounded great.
It sounded a bit rough on Dystopia. I'm like, ooh, I don't like the sound of that album at all.
You know, you want to know why you don't like the sound of it? Is because everything's been down-tuned to accommodate the register of his voice now.
Ah, that's why. I thought this sounds flat. This is like,
yeah, that's why. I can't remember what I was listening to. Oh, no, I was listening to Jamie Josta's podcast, which is a great podcast.
Right.
And he was interviewing Worl Dane from Sanctuary and Nevermore.
Oh, nice.
He gets a lot of great interviews. Like, he did an interview with Tommy Victor from Prong recently. Right. I was like, you don't hear Tommy Victor being interviewed a lot. No. But
well, Sanctuary had their first album produced by Mustaine.
Exactly. So they were talking about Mustaine a lot.
Mm.
And somebody, I don't know if it was Worl or Jamie, who said that the Dystopia record was down-tuned because, you know, it just accommodates Dave's voice now, you know.
Yeah, well, Kiss is the same as well, by the way. They've down-tuned to mostly Paul Stanley's voice.
And I've been taking voice lessons recently, and so I kind of understand that now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, because getting to that higher register, you know, is kind of hard. And I would imagine when you're older, it's much harder.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. But I will say this. I actually watched Kiss and Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I saw you bought that. I was like, I can't believe you posted that. John's going to give you shit.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, I was in the store buying some movies for my kids. I said, Dad, can you pick this up? So I found it. And then I saw the Kiss Meets Scooby-Doo. I'm like, oh. It scanned up at $12. I think it was $12. Yeah, $12. I'm like, okay, I'll pick it up. $12. That's not bad. And I get to the front register and they got the self serve ones, and it scanned up at $8.40. Like, oh, bonus promotion, 30% off. I'm like, oh shit, $8.40. I can live with that for sure. So, finally managed to watch it last night. I gotta say, thoroughly enjoyed it. As much as Phantom of the Park, no. There's a lot of in-jokes in there. If you're a Kiss fan, there's a lot of in-jokes in there for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's a quick 75 minutes. It runs pretty quick. I did notice, though, in that they gave Tommy Thayer a lot of lines in that. I'd say more than any member of Kiss.
And it wasn't like in Family Guy when Ace Frehley sounds like he's had a head injury.
He's always sounded like that.
He's like, ah, oh, there's not enough gravy on my Grand Slam.
No. He sounds quite articulate. And it was he got a lot of lines, and then I don't know what the hell went on with Gene's voice if they had altered it to sound like a demon, but it sounded like someone impersonating Gene Simmons. I'm like, this is not sitting right with me.
Mm.
So
rip and destroy.
Yeah, well. You know, I was damn well going to put that up against Phantom of the Park, and it was like, of course. There's no contest. I mean, I'll watch it again. I really enjoyed it. I was really knocked out.
Phantom of the Park's just a fun piece of garbage. You know?
Oh, it is.
Like, it is. You know, and it has the songs and stuff in it.
Phantom of the Park's like when you're starving and you find that McDonald's wrapper that's got like half a burger left in it, and you think, oh, it looks fresh enough. I'll eat it.
Yeah.
You know, it's crap. You know, it's, you know, and it's wrapped up in trash, but it's still some good eats. There you go. But speaking of something that's not good eats, before we get back to Dee Snider, dude, Danzig's Skulls album, was that
Skull? Did you hate it?
Horrible. Horrible. Yeah. Oh, God.
Most people do. I there were a few songs on it I liked, but most people thought it was a giant piece of shit, and I understand, you know.
Yeah. I listened to the first couple. I'm like, I don't like this. And I went to
I
listen to Rough Boy, the ZZ Top cover, and oh man, Billy Gibbons must be. Oh God!
I like
put his beard in his ears. It's bad.
I like it. I'm sorry. I know. I know the world disagrees with me on this, but let me see which songs did I like on there. I need to take a look. But I liked Rough Boy because this is one of those things where I'm like, I totally understand. I get nobody likes it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was listening to I listened to a lot. I thought the NIB cover was garbage. That was the only one I flat out hated.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but I liked. Yeah, it was terrible.
I liked the Action Woman cover. I liked the Rough Boy cover. I liked the With a Girl Like You cover.
Oh, the Trogs one, yeah.
Yeah, and Find Somebody was probably my favorite. So
should have been called Find a Record Producer because it was sounding like shit.
No, I will say the big problem with the album, and it focuses too much on Danzig's voice. The instrumentation's very low in the mix.
Yeah.
Like, you can barely hear Tommy Victor's guitars or Johnny Kelly's drums or any of that. It's all really low in the mix, and it seems like Danzig's voice is at the forefront, and it needs that outside set of ears. I don't think Danzig should produce his own records, because I think once he parted ways with Rick Rubin and started producing his own stuff, he started to kind of, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, those started those first four Danzigs are the best sounding ones, the ones he did with Rick Rubin.
I thought the last one, Death Red Sabbath, was really good.
It was. It was a real sort of return to form for him.
Yeah, it was. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, this is the best one since Danzig 4, you know?
Yeah.
But speaking of covers, on the topic of Kiss, did you hear about Ace's covers album?
I certainly did. I heard about it.
Freeze, Fire, and Water with him.
Well, yeah, but they're not together. Paul's just recorded his bit and sent the file over.
That's how that usually goes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But it's still odd to me, considering they've said nothing. Paul has said nothing but shitty things about Ace in the press. You know?
Yeah. I think it depends. With Paul Stanley, it depends what day you get him as well. So
I think so. But it was funny. On one of the first episodes of Snyder Comments, getting it back to D. Snyder, he had Sebastian Bach and
Reese. That was hideous. I wanted to strangle Sebastian Bach. Listen to him screaming.
But he goes, you know, D was in hot water recently at the time over comments he made about, you know, somebody being in Whitesnake, being advertised as a member of Whitesnake.
Oh, Doug Aldrich, yeah.
Doug Aldrich, yes. And, you know, and so D was talking about how he thinks it's a joke, like, you know, Foreigner and all these bands that are made up of a bunch of new people that advertise themselves as a band when, you know, the people who were in that band didn't slog it out in the early days when they had to, like, put up flyers and, you know, and he mentioned Kiss, and he was talking about how they always crap on Ace and blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, and Sebastian Bach just goes, have you ever had to work with Ace Frehley? This is Sebastian Bach, by the way, who's fucking cool to work with.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, really.
Skid Row would rather reunite, would rather get the guy from Dragon Force to sing in their band
than Sebastian Bach. Yeah.
Do a reunion with Sebastian Bach, which would make them a lot of money. You know, and they do it.
Yeah.
And so
I don't blame him.
I'm sorry. I don't give a shit about a Guns N' Roses reunion, but I would go see Skid Row with Sebastian Bach. I love those first two albums, Skid Row and Slave to the Grind.
Oh, but, I don't know. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I know. But I love those records. I think they're funny and crazy. But Sebastian just kind of – he didn't really – elaborate. He was like, have you ever had to work with Ace Frehley? And he's like, no. And he's like, okay. You know?
Yeah.
Case closed.
Yeah.
He's a pain in the ass.
But don't tell the hardcore Ace fans. They'll come after you with fucking blowtorches.
Ace is my favorite Kiss member. And I think he's, you know, he's a drunk idiot. You know?
Yeah.
But his solo records are my favorite. You know, I thought Space Invader was awesome.
It was good. I liked it.
I think it's better than anything Kiss has done in a long time. You know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's moments on. I'll tell you what. Sonic Boom.
Moments on Monster are great.
Sure.
Like like Wall of Sound, I thought was a big like stomper of a track, you know.
Yeah. I mean, this flash.
But I thought Space Invader, like, I can listen to that one like mostly through, and
yeah, even Anomaly. I heard Anomaly a little while back. I think not long after Space Invader dropped. I'm like, oh, I'll listen to Anomaly again, and it wasn't that bad. It was actually all right.
Yeah, yeah. Anomaly is a pretty good record. I'm looking forward to his covers album because I think Ace does a great job with covers. I like his covers usually.
Right, right. I am looking forward to it, but the fact that it's got three Kiss songs on there just
my heart sank.
I'm like, well, there's three others you could have done, Ace.
I will say I am glad he's doing Cold Gin because that's one of his tunes.
Okay, that's fair enough. One, yes, but three, there's no need.
We don't need Parasite and Rock and Roll Hell and whatever. But when I saw Cold Gin, I was like, ooh, that's cool that I'll get to hear him sing Cold Gin. Because when they recorded that, he wasn't singing. You know, he just didn't sing.
He wasn't comfortable enough. Yeah, with his voice at the time. But I'm still going to pick it up for sure. I definitely want to hear it.
Yeah, the cover art's pretty spacey. I like it.
It is, isn't it? It's really good. But do you know when that drops at all?
It comes out, 1 second, I have the Blabbermouth story up here.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Sorry, I was looking to see what song he performed with Paul. It doesn't say.
Probably like about halfway through the year, I'd say maybe June time.
I know he's about to play in Dallas, I know that. He's coming here pretty soon. Oh, on April 15th.
Oh, that's not too far. That's not bad.
And I think you can already get White Room on iTunes already, the Cream song.
Yeah. All right, and now we'll take a break and be back in a second.
Hey, guys. It's Stuart here for True Vehicle. You know, everybody hates buying a car. It's one of those grinding things in life that we got to do, whether we like it or not. And there is a better way to help you through buying a vehicle. No more dealing with bushy salesmen who walk out in their cheap-ass suits going, I can see money in your wallet. I'm going to take it out of there by the end of the day. It's not happening no more. You got True Vehicle to help you out. With True Vehicle, it's so much easier. It's an app you install on your phone, on your iPhone or your Android system, and it gives you the best price of what other people are paying. Don't be a fool. Look, even the choppers out there are saying, you're an idiot. Use True Vehicle. Download it. Put it on your phone. You know, my son came to me one day and he just bought a car. And he said, Dad, I bought this car. Why don't you come outside and have a look at it? And I went and had a look and it was a nice car. Very nice. Not a Tesla, but it was a nice car. And I said, what'd you pay for it? And he told me, you're not going to believe it. I said, why'd you use True Vehicle? You idiot. Your uncle's a car salesman. He could have told you you got ripped off. So, I spent all day making fun of my son, who was gypped by one of these salesmen, because he didn't use True Vehicle. Here's how it goes. You punch in the type of car you want, you look at what other people are paying for that car in your area, you print out a certificate, and you take it to an approved True Vehicle dealer. No more hassles. No more haggling. No nothing. No headaches. No walking away and having self-doubt. Now, with True Vehicle, it's so much easier. True Vehicle will save you over $3,442 off the MSRP. That's a lot of money. You know you can do that with a lot of money? You can buy the entire Twisted Sister catalog. You can buy a ticket to Dee Snider's Rock and Roll Christmas Tale. Don't be a fucktard. Use True Vehicle today. That's T-R-U-E Vehicle today. And now back to our show.
Okay, and we're back. Now, let's get it back to our man D. I just want to ask you quickly, do you like Twisted Sister?
Yeah, I do. I don't love all their songs. Like, all of their albums to me are like, you know, they're songs I like on them.
Right.
But, you know, the ones I like, I really like. And I have the Twisted Forever tribute compilation, which is great.
Oh, is that one with the New York Steel show on the DVD at all?
No, it's got like Motorhead doing Shoot 'Em Down. And
oh, it's a tribute album. Okay.
It's a tribute, but it's got like all like really good artists on it.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah. I apologize, listeners. My dog is having a meltdown.
Yeah. She just watched Strangeland.
She did. She's very upset.
Yeah.
She's worried people are going to come and pierce her nose. In fact, I think she's barking because she's worried somebody, Dee's going to sew her mouth shut.
There's a man at your window philosophizing with a long red mohawk and...
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. His character was such a fucking dullard.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's set this up. What's Strangeland about?
Okay, so it's about... it starts off with two teenage girls. Linda Cardellini's one of them.
Yeah, Linda Cardellini from that 70s show. No, not that 70s show. I'm sorry. From Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
And Family Guy. Yeah. Yeah, she was in the Scooby-Doo movies, and she was... I keep confusing her with the girl who plays Meg, so she's not in Family Guy. I'm sorry.
No. Okay. And so it starts off with two teenage girls on an AOL chat, which has dated the shit out of this thing automatically.
Yeah, no, it's like it's not AOL, but it's AOL because it has the little like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like some sort of chat, those old ass chat rooms, if you can remember those back in the late 90s. And they're in a group, and there's this character called Captain Howdy in the room, and he instant messages them, or they get instant messaged, and he says, "You want to come to a party?" And they end up going, and it's actually Captain Howdy's a child killer. Now, did you hear on Dee's podcast that this is actually meant to be small children, little children? Before it was meant to be teenagers in the film?
No, but I can see why he couldn't get away with that.
That is fucked up. Seriously, as a guy who's a parent and a grandfather, I know! That's seriously messed up.
It is messed up. And a movie like this, it's always dead teenagers. You know, that's just the way it goes. You know,
that's right.
I loved his profile though. It was just like age high school. Duh. Slogan. Hey bud, where's the kegger?
It's a bit that got you, wasn't it? You like that much.
Gosh.
Hey bud, where's the kegger? Yeah. Oh, of course. But Dee's drug free. I don't drink. I'm clean and sober. I was at the Senate hearings. John Denver and Frank Zappa.
John Denver did more drugs than either of us.
Yeah. Do you know that Ronnie James Dio blasted Dee Snider for those Senate hearings afterwards?
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
he saying,
did.
"Who the fuck are you to speak for us?"
Like, yeah, he said that he was presumptuous to speak for all rock stars or something.
Yeah. Good on you, Dio. That's why I love Dio. among many other things. So, yeah, it turns out Captain Howdy's a killer and...
he's one of these like extreme body mod guys.
Oh,
like,
that was the whole film theme of that fucking shitting me off throughout this film. Even though I'd seen this about the third time now, and the last time, I can guarantee I won't be watching it again. It was like that whole Zabalba nightclub was bullshit. I'm sorry, I'm calling
that
bullshit.
Was, that was like okay, so let's set that up because. Like, we have these two cops played by Kevin Gage, who's the poor man's Stephen Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
And...
the poor man's James Remar, really.
Yeah. And you have Brett Harrelson, who's the poor man's Emilio Estevez.
Yep.
As the other cop, Christian. Yep. And Gage, who's a cop, happens to be the father of Linda Cardellini, who's disappeared. So he's looking... And I love how, like... He asks his partner if he's looked up the information he needs for him, and it's been like 2 days. And he's like, no.
Yeah. Really, really, really attentive partner, yeah.
I was like, who wrote the, like, cops, is this what cops do? Fucking nothing? I don't know.
I'm sorry.
For the sake of drama, move it forward.
What fucking cop goes in there without backup?
Oh, yeah.
To rescue his kid.
There's a lot of instances where the cops just run into the house, and this happens in a lot of movies, even supposedly good ones.
Yeah.
But just run into the house, like don't say where they're. Like, there's a bit where Kevin Gage's character just decides he's going to go into this house, and he doesn't tell anybody where he's going to be. Yep. Where he is, where, you know, so like if he gets killed, well, that's it, you know, back to square one.
Yep.
It's just really dumb. It's really dumb. It felt like, you know, they hadn't consulted any policemen.
It was clumsy, is what it was.
Like, it was all the cop stuff in this movie came from other movies. It didn't come from actual research.
Yeah, there was no sort of a technical advisor on the set saying, well,
like,
no.
Even something like Silence of the Lambs, which feels like fantasy, even did enough research to where it could kind of sort of grounded in reality to where you could let it slide, you know?
I'll tell you one thing that bugged me. This really bugged me the first time I watched it, even was when the cop, the Kevin Gage character, is trading off recorded voice messages with Captain Howdy, D. Snyder.
Oh God!
And yes.
And I know where you're going with this,
right? Did you notice that the amount of time it took to now I don't know if they were doing this in real time or it was condensed for editing purposes. But something like this needs to be in real time because the amount of time he's taken to record, hit send, Captain Howdy to listen to it, speak back, record his own thing, it's physically impossible.
And not to mention, he's in the fucking car. Where's his internet coming from? This is in the 90s when people still use dial-up.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, like he's sitting in his car and they're sending messages back and forth on the computer. I'm like, how's this happening? Like, is there some technology I didn't know about in 1998?
No. I was there. You and I were there for the internet in 1998.
I was.
There was no fucking Wi-Fi. There was no 3G or 4G going around. It was all like, plug that phone line in and dial-up modem. That was it.
Exactly. You weren't plugging it into your fucking cell phone. You know, like, it was just, like... That scene was just science fiction, the trading messages back and forth, because he's in his car while they're doing it.
But the weird thing is, it's not like this is a film that's trying to be retroactive, for like it was made in 2010 and just
right,
forgetting.
No,
it was something made in 98, so where's it? What's Deagon saying? I started Wi-Fi! I started Wi-Fi!
Well, and it was trying to be very cutting edge, the movie was, like with the chat rooms. Remember those?
Yeah.
Like chat rooms, like those are things that are relics of the internet. Like, do people still go to those? I don't think so.
Oh, ICQ, that was one of the best ones.
ICQ, there was like AOL chat rooms. In fact, AOL chat rooms for a while were big hubs for child porn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, AOL didn't do anything about it. And this comedian, Bobcat Goldthwait, just did a documentary on him called Call Me Lucky.
Oh.
This comedian took the he was like molested as a child. Oh, right. Barry Crimmins. That's the name of the comedian. Barry Crimmins.
Okay.
He was molested as a child, like raped and stuff. And he found out that people on AOL were trading child porn, like openly.
Jesus.
On AOL. And AOL wouldn't do anything about it because, you know, all the time these people spend online, they get money for it. So they didn't do anything. And so he sued them and like took it to court.
Did he win?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Good. He made him stop, you know, but it was one of these like horrifying things, but yeah, he kind of discovered it and put a stop to it. Like he brought it to the public that AOL was turning a blind eye to these child porn, chat rooms.
Jesus.
It's not like this is the deep web or something where you have to like buy special equipment to go in and get this kind of stuff. It was
you sick fucks. We're certainly not promoting that shit, I can assure you, but yeah.
No, like you hear a lot about listen to podcasts, you hear about the deep web and that's where like you get drugs and hitmen and stuff, you know.
Oh, jeez.
So you have to like do some heavy lifting to get there, and this was on AOL. This was on the Premiere, you know, internet service.
Oh, I was on AOL back in the late 90s, but I certainly, I can assure you, I was doing none of that shit. I was in a chat room, I was just pissing people off.
Again, anything like that, you had to go looking for it, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so this movie has, like, the chat rooms, and it also is that old fear. Like, I remember in the late 90s, early 2000s, if you used an online dating service, people were like, oh, well, we'll... I'm sure we'll be reading about your corpse in the paper.
Oh,
you know, like anybody you met online was guaranteed to be a serial killer, right?
Jeez.
Like, that was just the thing about the internet. Like, and it wasn't necessarily true, but that's what everybody assumed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I had friends in high school that I met on the internet when I was in high school that I met in real life and became friends with, yeah. you know? But you know, you couldn't tell people that because they would think that they thought people that had an antisocial stigma to it.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, oh, well, that person's going to kill you someday, yeah. you know? Now, that's like the way people meet up. Like, online dating's like the way to go out and meet people.
Yeah, you know? I mean, those dating companies, I dare say, are just, you know, the ones where you actually physically have to go into an office, look at profile pictures and shit. That's gone.
No, now you get on Match.com, you get on Tinder. I mean, Tinder, Jesus, you just swipe left, swipe right. Send messages to whoever. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, was it the gays use Grindr?
Of course they do.
And the gay bears use Growler.
shit.
But no, there are these dating apps, and it's just like, you know,
yeah.
it's made meeting single people for whatever your preference may be to easy as can be.
I mean, there's also Fuckbook.
Fuckbook.
For some reason, I always get granny sort of, you know, find a granny in your area 4 miles away from you. I'm like, well, I know this is a fake because we don't use the miles over here. We use kilometers or feet or yards. So don't, yeah. Not
So if you get on some of these dating apps, you run across so many, like, fake profiles. Oh, like, you see the girl go... they're just too attractive and their profiles are too barren and there's just little signs and you get the message from them and it's like, my messaging's not working right now. Like, come to this website and see me. And it's,
yeah,
you know,
really.
It's always like it's some like obese Russian. You know?
I was going to say, yeah, Russian women are like Russian, looking for a Russian wife.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, even like just a Russian, like, porn baron just getting you to look at some of his and girls, you know, or something, some sex slave in Eastern Europe. You know?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I've seen them before. Like, you know, they pop up. They're all GIFs and shit. They just pop up on your page, and
they're all over these dating services. Like, you kind of gotta, you know, wade through the fake profiles that are trying to push porn.
Oh,
spam.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
To get to somebody who's real, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to this thing, yeah, that was a problem I really had with that. I was like, how's this guy sending this shit?
It doesn't, like, it's so many of these movies that are like internet driven, like Hackers or Masterminds with Patrick Stewart. There's a one that's not on DVD.
Yeah.
Their depictions of the internet are, you know, they're using the internet. It's like, oh, it's edgy because it's the internet, but they don't actually reflect at all how the internet works. The internet's rules only bend to the will of the script, you know, to the story.
Yeah. So anyway, Kevin Gage's character, his daughter's missing along with her friend. He sits out in the car like we just explained, sending messages, and he happens to be right outside the front of the house because he can tell because the border collie's barking in the same message as what he's getting from Captain Howdy. I thought...
Which, like, the collie that's, like, out... Is Captain Howdy recording outside?
It's just... yeah.
And by the way, did the family seem like... Like, Elizabeth Pena is the wife. Like, did they seem just sort of, like, only mildly affected by this to you? You know, just sort of
she
like,
was like, yeah.
Kind of
her mother rolls up and says, oh, you have to come and eat. It's like, there's a fucking child missing. It's just like, it's like, oh, I've got to go to work. And it's, it was just really odd, this way this was all this was acted was just odd. I mean, Linda Cardellini was fine, you know. She's never really that bad at all. She's quite good.
No, I think, yeah, she's a cute girl.
Oh, yeah. I got to say, she definitely wasn't this.
You also had Amy Smart in there too. Forgot about her.
Yeah. I gotta say, Dee Snider's Captain Howdy was pathetic. Really.
Yeah. Here's the thing: is Dee has the physique to where he could be like a good movie monster, you know? Because he's really tall dude.
Yeah.
He's a very tall dude. He's very fit. He's muscular. Even now, like,
well, he's only 6'1". He's not that tall. He makes out like he's a monster. I mean,
he does.
Paul Stanley's taller than him. I think he's like 6'3" or something. So.
And then Peter Steele is like 6'7".
Yeah.
That guy was a fucking giant. That's why he died when he was like the age of 50. Cocaine and being a giant will kill you. But even on camera, like, you can tell he's a tall guy. Like, he's ugly. You know, he's got
he's not ugly.
And, you know, it's just he could make a good movie monster. The problem is the monster he's chosen, Captain Howdy, talks too much.
He pontificates too much.
He pontificates, and I'm sorry, but unless the writing is really good, that makes your villain boring to me when they just yap on and on and on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Freddy's fun because he, like, makes these little quips and stuff, but, you know, Michael Myers doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, and he's great.
Yeah. Yeah. More effective than
Frankenstein's.
The others.
Frankenstein's monster in the movies, in the book, he yaps incessantly, but in the movies, he doesn't say much. It's great.
Yeah.
Jason
Voorhees says, like, bugger all as well, and Jason's.
Yeah, Jason's just like Michael, you know, doesn't say much. You know, a lot of these movie monsters, you know, the more they talk, the more Freddy talked, the less scary Freddy was.
Well, look at the first Nightmare movie. It was barely anything out of him at all.
He kind of was threatening and a little, he had kind of a sick sense of humor, but he didn't talk that much.
No.
But by the time Nightmare 3 rolled around, he was like, he had quips for everything. And, you know, it was fun, but it wasn't scary.
No, it wasn't. It became more comical as each film went along.
Yeah,
because just, oh, what's Freddy going to say this time? But
welcome to the prime time, bitch. You know,
yeah, exactly.
It's good stuff, but, you know, it's not scary.
No, it's not. But Captain Howdy, halfway through the film, is captured.
Yeah.
Okay. Which we should reference is actually, this is all based on the song "Horror Terrier" from the "Stay Hungry" album of Twisted Sister.
Okay? Yeah, it's
a two-part song. First part is actually Captain Howdy. Second part is Street Justice. Mm-hmm. Which we do get a little bit of that in the second half of the film with the Robert England character.
Yeah. And all the mothers who are based on the PMRC, like, dressing like old Christian moms from the 80s.
Oh, my God. That one woman in there who I think they nicknamed her Sunny was a complete throwback to Tipper Gore.
Oh, I know. Like, it was like, oh, we are Christian and we don't like you.
Yeah.
And it was really unconvincing when Captain Howdy's rehabilitated and he's wearing all this makeup to cover up his tattoos.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
He's sitting there reading books.
That made D look even uglier. It's like, and he's wearing that, like, Mrs. Bates wig. I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
He looked like Mrs. Bates. He, like, in that little, like, sweater and stuff. It was just trying too hard.
And why did he have to give himself the last name of Hendrix or after Jimi Hendrix? There was no need. I mean, it was spelled different, but.
It's just supposed to give the initial CH, like Captain Howdy.
Yeah, I understand. I was like, oh, based on Jimi Hendrix. And who knows? Larry Cullen for the... I don't know, but whatever. Yeah, so Captain Howdy's captured, deemed to be insane, sent away for... he does 12 months something and then he gets another 3 years in the insane asylum. He's deemed to be fit to return to society and is let loose upon society, much to the chagrin of a bunch of parents who... have had children killed by Captain Howdy, and I didn't like the Robert England character much. I didn't think he'd do a great deal except from being a complete fucking pig.
No, he was just there to catalyze Captain Howdy becoming evil again. Like, yeah. Oh, Captain Howdy would have been nice if it wasn't for those angry rednecks and Christians, like Robert England was the dumb redneck who, you know, they flat out lynch him. It's like an old, like, 1930s style lynch. Like they string him up and hang him and all that stuff. And then Captain Howdy somehow survives and
he breaks free. Then he crashes to the ground and all of a sudden,
and his piercings all of a sudden that they hadn't grown back somehow.
Yeah. And of course we have to get the old Freddy line there, what a rush, when he hits the ground, when Captain Howdy hits the ground, or Colin Hendricks. I'm like, oh, you're going to be that contrived by taking that line out of a Freddy movie, really?
No.
Obviously from Nightmare 3. But then somehow Captain Howdy comes back. I mean, he's made a... Okay. I got a problem here, Hunter. I got a problem here, my friend.
Yes, yes, yes.
They drive off with
many problems.
With Colin Hendricks in the car, Captain Howdy, and they run over a tiny bottle of pills, his medication.
Yeah, he ran over his medicine.
You tell me you cannot get a prescription? You tell me those half a dozen pills in there is what's going to save him from being a monster.
Yeah, exactly.
And you couldn't get repeats if you got them. I think the one person in that whole town or that fucking entire state who'd say, look, I've lost my pills, they've been taken, they've been crushed, can I please get some more? They'd be fucking freighting that shit to him straight away.
That just, and, like, medication, it, I mean, it, like, and of course, for the sake of the script, again, it's just the medicine's what keeps him, you know, stable. But,
yeah.
No, it's that therapy plus medication. I don't think losing
it's a,
your
it's
pills.
It's a multitude. Yeah, the pills are not just going to do it alone.
It's going to turn you into a psycho again.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you're warpaint. Well, he's already got all the tattoos on his face. He's using the makeup to cover the tattoos, so they're going to be there. But yeah, you're right about the piercings. They suddenly grow back. All their,
yeah, I know.
Their
like, wings. I was like, how? Wait a second. Wouldn't those have closed up? You know, yeah. in the time between when you were in prison.
Well, not that big Texas Longhorns thing he had through his nose in the septum, whatever it was called.
I love it. There's the tow truck driver who's an expert on piercings.
Yeah, I know. Really, right? Really.
Hey, we're like the tribal people of old. And they go to that club, like your typical horror movie club, like the club from Blade or something. You know?
Oh, it was worse than that. It was like, I bet you there's no such club exists.
And I love like in movies when you have a band playing in a club and it's so, there's been no effort at all to make it seem like it's recorded live. It's just like lazily ADR'd in,
yeah.
So the band's just up there, and it just sounds like quiet music playing over the speakers.
Yeah, but I think there was one moment that I'm sure when I watched, I said Hunter's going to piss himself when he watches this. Is when the detective first breaks into the house, and it's the wrong house. It's not Captain Howdy's. And they kick the door in, and there's those two old people having sex.
I know. There's an old couple fucking. I'm like, what? He's like, the old guy who has this big old Methuselah beard.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I need my pills. And it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like,
right. Oh, God.
And did you notice how, like, weird the soundtrack was to this? Like, there's this scene in a hotel room, and they're listening to A Secret Place by Megadeth.
they're listening to fucking some sort of grindcore metal or that sort of.
And he goes in there. They're listening to Soulfly's "Eye for an Eye" like in that church at the end. I was like, what?
This every scene. I tell you what, I came over with this among other things. Every scene, this felt like it had to have a goddamn WWF or WWE theme, like an entrance scene to it. Every single fucking scene.
Yeah, there was always some, like, new metal or something.
Yeah.
From the time, like, it had Kid Rock in there at one point.
Yeah.
I think there was a whole chamber in there. Corn chamber, whatever you want to call them.
Corn chamber, yeah.
Both Corn and Coal Chamber, two of their biggest songs ripped off Fear Factory.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, the song Blind and the song Loco.
Yeah.
If you listen to the riff. The dun 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 dun. It is the exact same goddamn riff as Fear Factory Scapegoat. It is from Soul Off Machine. It is the exact same riff on both songs. It's like the guy, both these bands just totally ripped it off.
They don't care. But one scene this that bugged me as well. Another scene, I should say, not one. Another one that bugged me was when Robert Englund's watching that video and he's getting his old lady to come in and give him some. And she comes in and she's doing that dance, remember? And it's in silhouette. It's all dark. I'm like, straight away when I knew, first time I watched it, she's dead. I can see the blood everywhere.
Because, I mean, she's walking around like somebody who's just had a stroke, you know?
Yeah. But the problem is that Captain Howdy's behind her, guiding her like a puppet, like a marionette. I'm sorry, D. Snyder's 6'1". What is he doing crouching down and moving this woman around? This woman's no more than 5'6". So where the fuck is he hiding? How is he hiding, squatting around and doing a marionette on this woman? I don't work it out.
Maybe he's wearing her like a pup. Maybe he's hiding in her vagina.
That's the sort of shit I'd imagine seeing in a Rob Zombie film.
Really. You know what? I will say, Rob Zombie has probably more talent as a filmmaker than Dee Snider.
No, I mean, that we're probably going to get ostracized by John. He's like, I'm quitting. I'm going.
No, John might. John would probably agree if he saw this movie, which he never will.
No, he won't. Guaranteed. Guys, out in the groups or anywhere, don't ask John to watch Stranger. You just, he'll be flat out. He'll be refused. I'd be shocked if he does.
If John watched Strangeland, I would owe someone money, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, anytime Dee Snider comes up on the show, he's like, I don't care about Dee Snider.
No. Hence why we're doing this.
He goes, I listen to the Howard Stern episode, but I don't listen to his show. No. Just want you all to know.
Yeah. He's pretty staunch. He does. He's not particularly fond of Dee Snider.
He hates Twisted Sister.
He does. Yeah. I gotta say this. I did go back and listen to a few of their albums when I was at work. I took Can't Stop Rock and Roll, Under the Blade, Stay Hungry with Me.
Under the Blade rocks pretty hard.
So. Right. And then I listened to Come Out and Play, and I suffered through Lovers for Suckers on Sunday at work. And I was like, the Twisted Sister ain't that much. They've got Stay Hungry sounds like shit. Stay Hungry sounds like shit. It's horrible.
I don't think any of their albums sound very good. Like, one reason I love the Twisted Forever compilation is that they have good songs, but they're not executed very well. And the Twisted Forever, like, the Motorhead version of Shoot 'Em Down rules. It's way better than the Twisted Sister.
Oh, yeah. I'd imagine.
But, like, Under the Blade, like, you know, that's a song that rocks hard as hell. But, you know, it's even better when you hear someone else doing it. And but, you know, there's some Twisted Sister songs I think are great, like The Kids Are Back.
Oh, I love a lot, like A Knife in the Back. That's my favorite of the lot.
Yeah,
I love that one.
I mean, I've got every one of their albums on vinyl, and they're pretty hit or miss. I have the first album,
Under the Blade,
The one with Under the Blade on it.
That's Under the Blade. Yeah.
The vinyl, when you get to the end, it has one of those little Easter eggs at the end where you hear Dee's voice going like,
That should be a sound that people everybody would have made, I think, when they watched Strangeland. It's like, oh god.
But you know, a lot of people who grew up in the New York scene, like if you talk to people from like the New York, like thrash or crossover scene, like Anthrax and Agnostic Front and all those people, they talk about how, you know, Twisted Sister was the band in New York. You know,
they were playing
clubs every night.
Yeah, but they couldn't break out of the tri-state area.
And you know, they were doing the British glam thing. They were doing like glam, like you know, dressed in your mom's clothes, can't put on makeup.
Yeah.
But that shit went out of style pretty quick, and it didn't come back in until the 80s.
Well, this is what because initially we should let you guys know, we were going to do the documentary We Are Twisted Fucking Sister, and that is what it's actually called.
We're saving that one, I think.
Yeah, we're saving that. But what bugs me about that is the fact that the way it's been designed or filmed is they're going to focus just on the first 10 years.
Yeah, it's the club years is what they're
and
focusing
on. I'm sorry, if you're trying to get people into your group, okay, yeah, they're going to be gone by the end of this year because they've announced they're 40 and fuck it till we're out of here sort of thing. But that's not the point. The point is if you're trying to get people interested in your band, why are you going to just show the early years of struggle and turmoil and toiling it through the clubs and shit. I'm sorry, I'd rather see that for... Okay, you want to do that? Do that for... Because this thing runs 2 hours and 15 minutes. That's a lot of fucking story. It runs way over... It's 135 minutes or something. That's a lot of time to commit to just talking about the first 10 years of struggle. It wouldn't even be that. It would only be the first... Yeah, actually, it would be about 10 years by the time JJ started, by the time they broke with Stay Hungry. Okay. But, I mean, you could really do that in 80 minutes, set the next 40 on the you know, the years that they prospered with the fame and fortune and all that Dee did anyway. And then go another 15, 20 on the complete breakdown. Because I think the breakdown of Twisted Sister due to Dee's ego, which he's admitted, is just as fascinating as the first 10 years. Because he was an egomaniac.
Yeah,
during,
he said it's amazing that his marriage is still intact, and he's been married to the same woman forever. So, you know, props for that.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I mean,
even if she was a little underage when they were.
Like I said earlier, back in the show, I said I can't get the fact that he doesn't think that in this day and age, in particular, of all the SJWs out there. It sounds a bit fucked up, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it may have been the thing to do back then.
Oh, here's the thing. The 70s had no, like sexual morality was just fucking it. Like, what Bill Cosby was doing, I'll bet a lot of people knew about it, and that was just what people did. You know, like, it was just, oh, you do quaaludes and you fuck. You know, that's what it was. You know, like, that's what those Hollywood types did. So, you know, being 20 and getting together with a 15-year-old was like, you know, whatever. You know. And whatever you're into, man, that's the 70s, you know.
Yeah, but the thing was as well, I mean,
A reason we stopped doing that, because it's, you know.
Because it's a bit sick, really. I mean, you don't talk about saying, oh, I chased her and she was 15, but that really sounds fucking creepy, D. I mean,
sorry. And here's the thing, I work with 15-year-olds, and I can't imagine it. They're children, you know. Like, when I meet that, I'm like, they're fucking kids. That's what they are.
Yeah.
They're children.
So they're kids.
They think and act like kids, you know?
I mean, I've got an 18-year-old girl here. I'm a hard ass when she brings boyfriends on. Like,
good. You should be.
I am. But, so anyway, and that's the way I think they could have structured that documentary. But we are going to cover that, don't worry, for the track, for sure. But that's what disappointed me. When I heard D say that it was just going to be the first 10 years, I'm like, oh, wow, all that time pretty much spent. I wouldn't say wasted, but spent on that period. Honestly, I bet you a lot of it's been either regurgitated in D's podcasts or his book or in that 50-minute story by J.J. French.
I can't imagine that it's there's going to be a whole lot of new stuff. But, you know, we'll see. Maybe there's some – I don't know. We'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing it, you know.
I do. I do want to see
it. Any rock doc, I'll watch. You know, I'm pretty – you know, I just watched the Robert Trujillo Jaco Pastorius.
Oh, that's in my queue actually to watch in my iTunes queue, because I heard about it. Well, you heard him talk with Eddie Trunk about that, right?
Oh yeah, I bought the DVD on Record Store Day when it came out.
Oh, okay, nice.
And you know, it's a really good documentary. Now, some of the clips, I'm like, is this the best clip they could find? Because I've listened to a lot of Jaco's music, and you know, that his bass work is, you know, otherworldly. And sometimes you look at him doing like the national anthem on the bass guitar, and I'm like, is this really what we need to look at? You know, like, you know, I'd rather hear the tones from Joni Mitchell's Hajira, you know, because that's like, you know, ooh, you know, head turning.
Maybe they're just trying to shoehorn as much footage of him in there.
Well, yeah, that's
very little as it is.
Exactly. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, this is footage we have of Jaco.
Yeah.
But that's a really good doc. And especially if you don't know anything about Jaco, it makes you go check out Weather Report and Joni Mitchell and, you know, Herbie Hancock and all these other – and his solo stuff. And
did they talk to that guy from Parliament? They would do it. Bootsy Collins? They would do, wouldn't they?
Yes, they do.
I thought so. Okay. Oh, guess who else has got a doco out that I'm sure you and I have to go. It's actually a part two of this band's history.
What is that?
I think you might know who I'm talking about, mate.
Oh, I think, is it Saxon, mate?
It is fucking Saxon, mate.
Right. I found out. Did I fucking tell you that fucking drummer fucking Saxon lives in fucking Dallas, eh?
He does. He owns that fish and chip shop, mate, doesn't he?
Yeah, I saw a friend of mine, he said the drummer from Saxon was in here, and I said, quit mucking about. Come off it, eh? And he said, no, I'm fucking serious, mate. He's the drummer from fucking Saxon.
Well, he took that song title, Dallas 1 PM, literally, didn't he? And moved to Dallas. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, Saxon's got another doco out. Part two of, whatever it's called, I don't know, or something or other. I will pick it up for sure. But, look, anyway, let's swing it back to Strangeland. Then Carlton Hendricks, Captain Howdy, is lynched, as you said, breaks free of the noose and comes back and captures people, captures Robert England, captures
people who lynched him. So it's a lot of like,
yeah,
the sort of like Saw type, like him torturing them and yapping about bullshit when he is torturing them. And it's really fucking, it's like,
it's boring.
Dee on his podcast said his wife was like disgusted when she read the script and stuff like that. And I was like, but I was watching it and I was going like, this is just boring. Like, he's just sticking needles in people and yapping. I'm like, ah, shut up.
And he's sticking this big ass needle, looks like a goddamn skewer you put a kebab on. And it's like two drops of blood coming out of his arm. I'm going, bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Straight away. So, and then, of course, the Kevin Gage character, the detective. I can't remember his name. It's just
really, it's irrelevant. Yeah, you know what it is? It's Mike Gage. So, big jump.
Yeah.
So.
Mike Gage, yeah.
So, he's Detective Gage, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, we get the final showdown, and we get it in the church. And, of course, Dee's hiding in the church, and the detective comes in, and he walks to a particular point, and bam, Dee throws a spotlight on him, like he's walked onto his mark perfectly.
And it's like a red spotlight, so it looks like a giallo or something.
Yeah, like, really, I'm like, oh, God, this. And then we get the big fight, and I'm sorry, but Dee, this is not a franchise character.
No, it's not.
Get the obvious, I mean, he burns to death, well, we think he burns to death, but... There's a Strange Land 2 written, and he wrote that back like in 2003 or something.
Yeah, he's been trying to get it made forever.
No one cares. He's like, oh, it's one of the reasons why he said he quit his podcast. Oh, I'm trying to get Strange Land something Origins or some strange. No one cares. You don't have to sequel every goddamn horror movie out there.
I know. I was like, who wants this? You know, it's just that the movie feels like a cultural relic as it is, you know?
Oh, it's so of its time. It's not funny.
Like, I mean, Rock and Roll Nightmare is a better movie than this.
But, actually, if you want to see Dee at his best, watch the Senate hearings of the PMRC. Watch him swagger in his T-shirt and jeans. And
pull out his speech from the back of his pocket.
Back of his pocket.
Hold it up.
Boy. I'll tell you what. I think it's time we.
Did you ever hear? I was thinking Egomaniac. I heard this interview with Lemmy just before he died on Josta's podcast, Jimmy Josta's podcast, and he goes, Jimmy Josta said that Bruce Dickinson got throat cancer from cunnilingus, and Lemmy goes, yeah, Bruce would say that, Egomaniac.
Didn't Michael Douglas use that same poor excuse as well?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He said he got it from eating Catherine Zeta-Jones's pussy. Mm.
She should name herself Catherine Yeaster Jones, then, it looks like. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, I think we better rate this piece of shit. We're giving this out of 10... 10 scarification needles.
I give it 10 nipple piercings. No, it's out of 10 nipple piercings, I give it like 3.
All right, I'm giving this out of 10 septum bull bars, whatever you call them.
How many Prince Alberts out of 10?
Oh, what was that other one?
You show the pictures of, like, the dick piercings. I'm surprised they didn't get into the bifurcated cock scene.
Yeah, really, right?
That's the sequel.
Yeah, totally. I'm going to give this out of 10 Prince Alberts. I'm giving it 1.
Yeah, it's a piece of shit.
Fuck this movie.
I gave it a 3 because I had fun kind of just, like, picking on it when I was watching it. I was sitting there going, hey, bud, where's the kegger? Like,
yeah, maybe that was a text
just,
you. Yeah,
just, like, you making little jokes and stuff and... It was because it's a really easy movie to make fun of.
Oh, totally. I kind of wish John had seen it, but we know damn well it's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. You know, John would rather get a Prince Albert than watch this movie, I think.
I think if John was killed by Captain Howdy, that should be by having his mouth sewn shut with bees inside it. Filled with bees and sewn shut by Captain Howdy.
The movie franchise horror villain John identifies most with is the Candyman, I think.
Yeah. Don't say his name 5 times, where the hell it is.
I referenced that in one of my classes the other day. I mentioned the Candyman. The kids had no idea who the Candyman was.
Oh, jeez, really?
I was like, oh, is this thing when I was a kid? Like, it was like Bloody Mary. It was like you say it three times and he shows up. Next day, some of the kids were like, I looked up the trailer for Candyman.
they were the Tony Todd one.
Yeah.
Jeez. But I'm giving this one, and I'm giving this one strictly for Linda Cardellini. She was nice. It was like, oh.
Yeah, Linda Cardellini is a very attractive girl. She's
very pretty.
She is. But, she was also in the Mike Judge show, The Good Family, which was like his opposite of King of the Hill, where it makes fun of liberal, like urbanites.
Oh, really?
It only lasted a season, but it was a pretty funny show.
Yeah. I'm sorry, D with fangs just is not. It's just weird. Because they're real. They're his real teeth.
Yeah, he had them filed down and stuff.
How stupid. Imagine going to your grandpa. I'm old. Imagine going to your grandpa. And he's got fucking vampire fangs. That's ridiculous. Come on. Oh, yeah, so that's Strangeland. We say give us a big old miss.
Yeah. I would say do not watch it.
No.
Even if you're a Twisted Sister fan, I would say do not watch it.
Yeah. I think the people who really like this film are the ones who have not seen it in a long, long time.
I think the people who really like this film are the people, and no offense, because, we have a few friends who are these types of people, and, if you are, God bless you. Mm-hmm. But we have friends who have pretty liberal taste in horror movies. They watch, and when I say liberal, I mean in the they're pretty open to everything sense. Yeah. They love a lot of shitty horror movies,
Yeah.
That's just their thing. And that's just what they're into. And I think if you're that's your taste, you'll probably like it, you watch a lot of video garbage,
I tweeted to D earlier on today.
Oh god.
Because I follow him. Oh, who knows? I tweeted to D. I said to him. He said, "D. Snyder says this in Twitter yesterday. Sorry, today. Another wicked day in the studio with Damon Ranger. Okay, that's the guy he's going on about that new WizKid songwriter.
Right.
Cracking it with Damon Ranger. Quick, cracking the whip.
Is he going to complain for fucking?
Hold on.
All right.
Can't wait to hear what the fucktards have to say when they hear it. I tweeted him back saying the same thing they said when they heard To Hell and Back.
Which is
that horrible song he did. Oh, fuck.
Which is fucking nothing, because the thing about To Hell and Back is he bitched forever about how he put it online for free and how nobody downloaded it. I'm like, it's because it's just nobody cares.
It's a generic as fuck song.
It's not a head turner. It's not a song that anybody's going to listen to more than once.
It's almost like something if they were to pop, Joey Tempest from Europe in there to go solo, or it's like they're trying to reach that sort of 80s, 90s Bon Jovi market, which is gone. It's long. And these
he's doing the sort of Jim Morrison type voice on it. She got very upset when people said the Glenn Danzig Ian Astbury voice.
And D's sitting there shirtless, it's like, come off it, D. All right, you're in good shape. There's no denying that. He looks really good for his age, but fuck, you're not 25. You're 60. You're old. So it's not. And when I heard the song, I'm like, okay, I'm going to give the song a chance and listen to it objectively. And it was like, this is generic as fuck. It's really, really bad. It's the dropping all that he stood for with rock and heavy rock and heavy metal and just basically trying to cater to a bigger audience. Trying to just get some more appeal to people. But he's selling himself out.
Well, and the problem is, I see this with a lot of artists from D's generation, and yeah. like a very recent example being the Last in Line album.
Yes,
we're big fans of Dio and Jimmy Bain, and Last in Line is basically the original Dio lineup with a different singer.
Yeah.
But like a lot of kind of the Frontiers records releases, like a lot of these older bands, you sort of listen to it and it's so generic. There's the magic's gone. There's I was listening to the Last in Line and I'm like, where's the production that gave us that magic, like that Jimmy Bain bass? His bass, I can't hear it in the mix. It's just kind of disappeared.
Is Frontier that Italian company?
Yeah, they're Italian. They put out right. Last Line, and they put out a lot of stuff. They put out a lot of like older bands.
Yeah, Y&T's
like
they, on there, I think, and there's a
Y&T of Toto is on there. Striper.
Well, that's sort of dispels the fact that everything Frontier puts out is shit, because the last couple of Striper albums have been fantastic.
Actually, you're right. And one of the I'm not saying everything Frontier puts out is shit, because I thought the album Michael Sweet did with George Lynch was very good.
Okay, I've not heard it yet.
It's Sweet and Lynch. It was excellent. But they have a lot of I think Ted Nugent might be on Frontier. So I'm not sure.
Of course he is. Ted doesn't care what label he's on. Someone's pumping money to his coffee.
Oh, Girl School's on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you know, I'm not saying like Asia, Operation Mindcrime. But no, not everything Frontiers does is terrible. But you know, I was just kind of using that as an example of a label that, you know, they gather a lot of talent together, and you know, a lot of the stuff they put out is kind of, you know, just...
Did you just say Asia's on there as well?
Yeah, Asia is on there.
Are they still going?
Yeah. Although John Wetton has cancer, so I think they're kind of in limbo right now.
Dude, there's a band that should be on, like, the label, with the biggest label in the world with an open checkbook. I mean, they're that fucking good, as you and I know.
I fucking love Asia.
Oh, yeah,
I thought
big fans of Asia.
The album they did in 2012, XXX, the 30 album... with the last one they did with Steve Howe, I thought was great.
That's just an album title ripped off from ZZ Top as well.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was a really good album. It was the last one they did with Steve Howe. Right. He's not in the band anymore, but I think he's devoted himself to Yes. But yeah, no, I love Asia, and a lot of people, they go through my vinyl collection and they see all my Asia albums. So like, what the shit? And I'm like, shut up. Asia's awesome. And they're like, you know how I know you're gay? Because you like Asia.
Yes. You're not into Asia, man. You're into Gaysia.
Yeah. That was one of the lines from 40-year-old version. You know how I know you're gay? Because you like Asia.
Give me a fucking break, really.
Love Asia.
Hell yes.
Yes is on Frontiers, too.
Jesus, they must have a few bucks. They're probably mafia-driven or something.
Oh, they've got a lot of album. They've got a lot of talent. I'm looking through the list here, and it's great. Glenn Hughes.
I think John's brought them up before in the past, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe. We spoke about Frontier Records.
Mr. Big.
Oh, really? Who cares?
I know, right?
Yeah.
They've got a ton of... But you know, sometimes you listen to some of these old bands that used to make great music, and you hear some of their newer stuff, and it's just... Like, Last in Line is so generic sounding. When I listen to that, I'm like...
Which is a damn shame, really.
It is a shame. I was looking forward to that album. Like... tremendously. I was like, couldn't wait for it. When I first heard I heard was it either Viv Campbell or Vinny Appice on Eddie Trunk a couple years ago, and he was talking about doing Last in Line, and I couldn't wait for it. And then when I heard the album, I was like,
Oh well. What are you gonna do?
Oh well.
Yeah, so D's got a new album that he's spruiking about. He reckons it's gonna be kick ass and all the... Okay, can I just read some of his tweets? Because this is bugging me. All right. This is, these are ones that he's put out. Okay, another wicked day in the studio. We're cracking the whip. Okay, can't wait to hear what the fucktards say when they hear it. I've just done that one. Love how haters call me irrelevant, yet the rock press constantly quotes me and the haters always react. Look up irrelevant fucktards. Okay, there's another one with fucktards in there. In the studio with Damon Ranger, recording final tracks for my solo album, coming out later this year. Recorded a 20-plus-year-old song you won't expect. I don't know. It's just, yeah, just half his tweets have the word fucktard, and I'm like, really? You just learned that word?
Yeah, no, he really? Said it on his show, and then he decided he wasn't going to use it anymore because
he wanted sponsors.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But we may stick a link to Hell and Back on the show notes here. I don't know.
Yes.
It depends how I feel. Just for the fact that it's so fucking bad. It really is.
Yes.
Oh, brother. Well,
all right, man.
I'm all D'd out. I'm
yes, I've had enough twisted sister. for a few years, I think.
Yeah. I've had enough of Desperado, I heard, and Widowmaker, and they didn't do nothing for me as well, really.
Yeah, I never listened to any of his other bands.
No, but...
didn't give a shit. Nobody else did either, apparently.
Yeah, just the one thing that seems to bug me about this guy is that he always... As soon as the shit hits fan or something's not going his way, he just bails out.
Right, yeah, it's like...
Okay, Twisted Sister, 87, Love Is For Suckers, album bombed, as you know. Bombed. Yeah, okay, that's it, fuck it, we're gone. I'm out. Yeah. Done.
Done. Okay?
Widowmaker, did nothing, I'm out. Done. Strangeland, one film. All right, yes, I understand it's how the film's made. I got it, okay?
And, like, it's kind of weird because you'd think you'd be used to failure after how it took a couple albums for Twisted Sister to do anything, and even it took years for them to even get an album out, you know?
Yeah. And then again with this terrestrial radio, oh, I was really big in Connecticut and blah, blah, blah. Well, how come you only lasted 3 years? What? Either you got sacked because you weren't doing well or you bailed out again.
Yeah.
And with the podcast now, it's like, oh, I can't commit, guys. Well, fuck, we've been going nearly 6 years on this thing. God, 6 years.
Well, and that's what I was saying. It's like we're not a celebrity podcast. We're not on Podcast One, but we're just doing it because we like doing it. And fucking, you know, and
yeah,
that's the only reason you do this shit. You know, like, unless you're Adam Carolla or Joe Rogan or Mark Maron, you know, you're not making any money doing this. Like, I listen to plenty of podcasts by famous comedians who remind – they're like – we like Dana Gould's catchphrase is, nobody's getting rich off this fucker.
It's not, no. But how true is that?
It's true. I mean, it's like, you know, we've done stuff to get some money for this, but it just goes into the show. You know, it's really not – nobody's taking any cash home from this.
Nope. And the thing is, well, that guy walks straight into a massive podcast provider in Podcast One.
He's yeah.
Like, oh, just I'd give anything for us to be on that fucking network. Seriously, same one as Eddie Trunk and Shaq and
Shaq, Carolla,
Loveline, yeah,
Loveline, Dr. Drew. You know,
yeah. So people. I mean, and you throw it away again by going, oh, I can't commit. I can't have this foam cone of silence on my head. Come on, D, really. Well, you need to. What? You didn't have enough money to buy a Tesla for your wife as well? You couldn't raise enough of that money for that shit? Oh, I bought a Tesla the other day. Remember when you did that episode, one of the last ones? Yes. Oh, you don't have to drive the car. You just sit in the car. It'll drive itself. What the fuck? Really?
So, towards the end, I would start the episodes and go, eh, what else do I have to listen to?
Oh, really? I mean, I liked D's show. We'll finish it off on D's show. That's where we started, all right?
Yeah.
And if you think we sound bitter because he quit,
hey, we're just grumpy fans. That's all.
We're grumpy fans. I mean, it was good, but I just can't believe the way the guy just quit again.
No, just the way he just sort of threw in the towel was just disappointing.
It was
like, really, dude. Like, come on, you should know better than this.
And
like,
as you said,
how long have you been in show business? You know, like,
really?
And I know podcasting's a new medium, and you know, maybe he doesn't get it, but it's just like. You're not going to make money doing this. You're doing this just to promote yourself. That's it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, really, the guy's recording an album now. Okay, if he had said, look, guys, I need a month off, I'm recording. No problem. Got it. But you got a new album coming out. What better way to really promote this shit than getting onto a podcast where he's going to have at least 10 to 15,000 listeners? That's not a bad fucking market, really.
No, it's not, you know.
And if you're on Podcast One, as you know, and you go on their page, you got all the list of the other shows. Oh, D. Snider from Twisted Sister, I'll give him a listen. Oh, he's got a new album, I'll check it out. He just, yeah. I can't believe they threw the towel in like this. It was just crazy. If he had a sick family member, absolutely understood. But yeah, as you said, the way he just went in, he went out like, I'm just not getting enough from it. What do you expect to get? You know,
yeah.
you pretty much berate your listeners for sending shitty questions, but like I told you, I read the questions submitted to him because I did one of them. There were way better ones there, but he picked the crappiest ones to bitch about it. And I thought that was pretty uncool, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then to rag on the people who asked that question, well, don't do that. If you don't like what they've asked, don't answer it. And if you don't plan on answering it, don't bring it up to shit on a person and make them feel like crap. It's just, I don't get him. Eddie Trunk is way, way more professional, you know?
Well, I mean, and he's been doing it for, I think he gets it because he's been doing it forever and, you know, and but, I think, and yeah. With his podcast too, he's using a lot of material from his radio show. He's like, oh, here's a, and I think he understands that a lot of people who listen to his podcast don't listen to his radio show.
So well, I can't get his radio show, and that's a perfect way for me to listen to that stuff.
Me neither. So I don't get it. And you know, he has an interview with someone from his radio show. Mm. He'll put it up uncut on the
podcast. Yeah,
on the podcast. Yes. Yeah. And you know, so it's a perfect little thing, you know. And I think it's really not much effort for him. He just opens it up, closes it out, and that's it.
Well, same with D. I mean, D
and sometimes he has an exclusive, and that's cool too.
Yeah, and D will just talk as well and submit his one. He doesn't do the editing or the posting or nothing. It's all done for him.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you have someone doing it for you.
Yeah, I've got too much on the horizon. Yeah, rock and roll Christmas tale. D, let it go. That dog's dead, man.
Gives a shit.
No one cares about D. Snyder's Rock and Roll Christmas Tale. Honestly, that was just like, it was embarrassing to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Toronto for 4 months and nobody's turned up, so we got to finish 2 weeks early. No shit. I mean, really. It's just, I've never seen a guy throw in a towel who has that celebrity status throw in a towel that many times. As soon as something doesn't go his way, it's just crazy. I don't know. And
especially after working so hard on Twisted Sister.
Yeah, for the guy who had so much perseverance and determination and grunt and everything else like that to get his band made. It's almost like now, if I don't get that fame straight away, well, fuck it, I'm going to try something else. Like, it's almost, I've done my 10 years hard yards or 8 years, whatever he did in Twisted.
Yeah, it's like...
It's almost like now my name's D. Snyder. I've got a very recognizable face. Why is this item not selling? Why is this show not getting picked up by more people? I don't get the ego, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't work it out. You know, like I said, with Eddie Trunk, as you and I know, because we're pretty avid listeners of Eddie Trunk, that guy's way busier than D will ever be, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's doing his live shows. And although that metal show just got canceled, but I think VH1 Classic is going under entirely.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. They're going off. They're changing the format entirely. I don't think it's going to be doing anything anymore.
Do you think we'll ever get another channel just strictly for music these days, like MTV was?
Probably not, just because YouTube's probably killed that.
Yeah, well, yeah, but who the hell sits in front of YouTube all the time? I mean,
I only do it when I'm at the gym, you know, when I'm on doing cardio. That's when I get on YouTube and watch stuff, but that's about it, you know.
Yeah, but YouTube, you've got to actually look for something, though. That's the difference.
It's true.
Whereas just with a cable channel, you can just sit there and veg out in front
of
the TV.
You know, it's nice to have something curated, you know.
Yeah, sure. But maybe we should start the MMC Rock Channel.
Rock Channel, yes.
Yeah, and just play all the stuff we like.
We should.
We'll premiere it. The first video can be D. Snyder's To Hell and Back.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Lose credibility as fast as...
Yeah, there's a way to kill your channel off straight away, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know, right?
God. All right, my brother, say goodnight. We'll be back next week.
And John will be back. It's one of those rare MMC pre-John episodes.
It really is. John is not entirely out giving us the...
No. It's rare John misses an episode.
No, I'm saying he is actually out to dinner with somebody...
He's trying to get somebody on the show, so he's actually working for us right now.
John's actually on the work duties tonight, so
yeah.
There you go, man. Don't say we don't cover your ass for you. All right, let's say goodnight.
Don't say he doesn't put in extra hours either. You know?
Yeah, really. All right, mate.
Adios.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast. To leave feedback and show suggestions, email us at midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like our Midnight Movie Cowboys show page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @MMCowboys. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and feel free to leave us a review. Listen to us on Stitcher.com or the Stitcher Radio app. Want to help the show out? Visit MidnightMovieCowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate link. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Our personal links are on the right side of our homepage. See y'all next time.